What's good, y'all? It's your boy CMJ here, bringing you another episode of the Go Talk. I'm bringing this divisional round weekend reaction. It was crazy. I meant to get this episode out yesterday on Monday, but between the three recordings that I had, that I just didn't like any of them. I'm going to come at you just with a much better delivery today. I just felt better about doing it today. But anyway, before I get into the games, this weekend almost went exactly how I thought it was going to go. Like, I like exactly almost how I predicted it. If the Chiefs didn't hold me, then I would have been sitting here looking like, dang, I'm pretty good at this in this NFL analytical stuff, man. I think I could do this. But real talk, I'll get into that Chiefs and Bills game. That was crazy. But first things first, I want to get into the first game of the weekend, Titans and Bengals. The Bengals went into Tennessee and won. They're advancing to the AFC Championship game for the first time in 33 years. They won that game 19-16. Also ended the league's longest NFL playoff road skid. Is that a road playoff skid? Basically, the Bengals have the longest streak of losses on the road in the playoffs, which ended on Saturday in Tennessee. So let's get into some stuff here. The Bengals intercepted Ryan Tannehill on the first play from scrimmage. And I just knew after that it was going to be a long day. Shout out to Jesse Bates. We need to talk about him more as a top safety. But I said this, if the game came down to Ryan Tannehill versus Joe Burrow, which I thought it would, give me Joe Burrow. Like, obviously. And then it was no question. I mean, Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times and still threw for over 300 yards. You get what I'm saying? Like, he's just that dude for the Bengals. Like, Mahomes is for the Chiefs or Josh Allen for the Bills and, you know, so on and so forth. Logan Wilson picked off Ryan Tannehill with 20 seconds left. Now, I think Mike Hilton got a tipped interception on Ryan Tannehill. So he threw 3 interceptions. I just don't think the game plan for Tennessee, I just don't think it was the best plan, because the Bengals were ready for Derrick Henry. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying the Bengals were ready for Derrick Henry from this perspective. Derrick Henry had 20 carries for 62 yards. Didn't look like him old self. Didn't look like his old self at all. Deontay Foreman, who only had 4 carries in this game, his numbers were in line for the season. His numbers were in line with Derrick Henry's. So, and Foreman was averaging 4-point-something yards a carry. It was 4 yards a carry at least. So, for Foreman not to get some touch, and when he did touch the ball, he looked great. So, for him not to get any touches or not to get as many touches as Derrick Henry in that game kind of baffled me, because you know that the other team is ready for Derrick Henry. When you throw Foreman in there, I don't know if that kind of sort of throws the defense off, but when you throw Derrick Henry in there, it's like almost like certain that you're going to give him the ball, because it's his first game back. You know, like he and it's a playoff game. And I get it, you got Julio and AJ on the outside, but we know who you're going to give the ball to. You know, like we the Bengals didn't just know that. We all knew that. I just think they could have came with a different style game plan. You know, AJ Brown only had 5 catches. Listen, it's the playoffs. Your superstars show up, man. They have to show up, and AJ did. I think he should have had more targets, more catches. I think at that point, I'm sorry, you know, it's kind of contradictory for me to say that Ryan Tannehill should have been throwing the ball more, even though he threw 3 interceptions. But at that point, you might as well just keep slinging it, bro. You might as well just keep slinging it, because AJ Brown and Julio Jones are doing all they can to keep y'all in this game. Derrick Henry just wasn't himself, and the Bengals are ready for that. And I say all of that. AJ Brown's 5 catches for 142 yards. He could have had well over 200 yards receiving if he would have had more targets. You know what I'm saying? And I was saying, like, Brian Tannehill, you have 2 number one receivers. Some teams don't even have 1. All you got to do is get these guys the ball. You know what I'm saying? And I think the Titans could have easily won this game off their defense alone, off those record-tying 9 sacks that Jeffrey Simmons and those guys were able to accumulate on Joe Burrow's offensive line. And that Bengals offensive line, oh my goodness. If they want to have any shot at beating the Chiefs this weekend, they have to find some way to protect Joe Burrow. They have to. They have to, like, chip, extra linemen, whatever you got to do, man, because guys are just getting home with 4. They don't even have to blitz. Like, they might just be able to send 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, that true color show in the playoffs, that offensive line and the lack of the short passing game in the Bengals system is going to be their downfall. Even if Ja'Marr Chase finished with 109 yards receiving. This is a little disappointing. Well, very disappointing for the Titans. Wrapped up a 12-6 season. It's their third straight loss on their own field as the AFC's number one seed. They haven't won at home since January 2003 in the postseason. That is a long time. And to me, I feel like the Titans are just stuck right now as they are. You paid Tannehill that money. You went out and traded for Julio. To me, all the Titans can do is, you know, probably beef up the offensive line a little bit and shore up that secondary. In fact, if the Titans were able to do something about their secondary this offseason, we could see them in the AFC Championship game next year. I just don't trust Ryan Tannehill. That's just me. And he showed me why this weekend. It showed us why that Miami got rid of that guy. And the crazy part about this, and the crazy part about the game is, like, both these quarterbacks, like, I think Joe Burrow came in second, only behind Ryan Tannehill for the most sacked quarterback. Like, that's crazy. And I'm surprised Tannehill wasn't sacked more, but they had a different plan. They were content in handing the ball off to Henry for most of that game. The Titans' over-reliance on Derrick Henry was probably their downfall in this one. That stopped 4th-and-1 at the Cincinnati 37. Kudos to the Bengals, 100%. But I know it's easier to say this in hindsight, but we know what's coming. We all know what's coming. I think a hard play action right there would have been the best thing for the Titans. That is just me. The Bengals also got the ball back with 2 minutes and like 40 seconds left with plenty of time to drive. That was after scoring 10 points in 90 seconds to tie it up at 16, but they just couldn't get done. That game, that last interception really sealed it for the Titans because, you know, Ryan Tannehill was just, I don't know, man. He just, him and Jimmy Garoppolo, one and the same. Just, they're not it, bro. And they don't get better. They are who they are, and you get what you get from them. And I can't rock with that. Shout out to Evan McPherson for converting his 11th field goal from 50 yards or longer. That's the most in a season from one player. He also became the first kicker in NFL history with at least 4 or more field goals in multiple games in a single postseason. And he called his own number at the end of the game, talking about we going to the AFC Championship game before he even hit the kick. Okay, rookie kicker. The rookie kicker got swag. The kicker. Okay. I knew the Titans were going to lose, but I just didn't think they were going to go out like that. I thought it was going to be more of a more exciting offensive game, I should say. But congratulations to the Bengals. Let me move on from them. All right, let's move on to Niners and Packers. This game was stressful. Okay, I'm a Niners fan, okay, and I was stressed out from start to finish. I mean, when they went down there and scored that first touchdown with AJ Dillon, I was like, oh my God, here we go. Like, what if we can't stop them? Lo and behold, that was the only touchdown that they scored the entire game, the Packers. And this game was really back and forth, up and down, as far as the momentum goes, because after the Packers had scored that first touchdown, there were plays from both sides that kind of, you know, had you like, dang, like, and it was a defensive game, up and down, through and through, all the way. It was a defensive bout. The Niners
the Niners' first four series, I believe, it was a brutal start. From their first four series, they had a total of minus 10 yards. And I think that included a few third down sacks. And that was after, bro, yo, this dude, Jimmy, man. Okay, let me start. Okay, I'm going to try not to be so nitpicky. In the first drive, I believe, or the second drive, like George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Jawan Jennings, they all dropped passes that would have gone for first downs. Kittle's might have been a touchdown. Okay, those three, right? After that, and I get it, Jimmy was putting it on a dime. But you can tell Jimmy's not throwing the ball with the same velocity and the same ferocity that he was when his shoulder wasn't strained. And that interception at the end of the second half, I mean, at the end of the first half with a minute left to go, nobody can sit here and tell me that Jimmy, if his shoulder wasn't healthy, that he couldn't rocket that ball to George Kittle. He's kind of like slingshot throwing it. I don't know how to explain it, but he's kind of like slingshot throwing the ball because of his shoulder, excuse me. And I don't think anybody's realizing or noticing how he's throwing the, he's not throwing the ball like he usually throwing the ball. But yeah, the Niners get off to a slow start, and that's another thing about True Color showing in the playoffs. Like the Niners, that slow start, besides that opening drive in Dallas where they go down and they score in the, you know, in the first drive, and like besides that opening drive, I haven't seen the Niners start a game where they're like they're firing on all cylinders. You know what I'm saying? Not late in the season. Not. It's just not when I would expect it to happen. Not against the Rams. Not against the Packers. It's just only against the Cowboys, which I'm happy they did that against the Cowboys. You understand how much I do not like the Cowboys, y'all. I mean, you know, I'll talk fairly about the Cowboys objectively, but I'm not a Cowboys fan. And the 49ers didn't get a single first down or pass completion until Garoppolo connected with George Kittle on a 15-yard gain with less than 6.5 minutes left in the second quarter. Like, Jimmy was only 11 for 19 for 131 yards and an interception. And the Niners still managed to win. Like, you get where I'm going with all this? Like, Jimmy Garoppolo, man, he had two more throws in this game that should have gone for pick sixes. Nobody's really talking about that a lot. Like, nobody on Monday was talking. Now people are talking about it today on Tuesday. But a lot of people weren't talking about this yesterday after the game. Jimmy almost cost them the game. Jimmy almost cost the Niners the game. If the Niners defense, along with the special teams that I'm about to get into in a second, didn't show up and show out in that game, we lose. I mean, the Niners lose. And the Packers offense, only throwing it to Aaron Jones, only throwing it to Devontae Adams. Like, I knew that was going to happen. But for the Niners to not be able to get their offense off the ground is something I couldn't predict. And it was suspect. And Jimmy, you are suspect. You are suspect, bro. Don't, like, this criticism is fair. Just because you're quarterbacking for a team that is winning doesn't mean that you are not playing well. And you need to admit it. You need to admit it. Like, I'm not playing that well. I need to get better. I need to do this. Please. Hey, take some responsibility, because it does not look good on you. It makes us feel like you don't care. It really makes me feel like you don't care. All right, man. I'm done killing Jimmy. Aaron Rodgers. Woo, man. Big questions this offseason. That's stuff I don't care about right now. Aaron Rodgers, 225 yards. Okay, Aaron Rodgers, 20 of 29. For 225 yards, has dropped to 0-4 in his career in the postseason against the 49ers, the first quarterback in NFL to lose four playoff starts to a single opponent. Packers earned the NFC top seed for a second straight season and were the league's only unbeaten team at home, but again failed to reach the big game. And they haven't made it to the Super Bowl since 2010. Aaron Jones, he had 12 carries for 41 yards, but he also had 9 catches for 129 yards. I knew that these two guys, Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams, were going to be a big part of this game plan, and the Niners knew it too. But I guess what works for me is, okay, you let those guys get off, but nobody else gets off. Because Aaron Rodgers, he wasn't throwing the deep. I think Alan Lazard had one catch. Like, I couldn't even remember somebody else catching the ball for the Packers. Serious. And then AJ Dillon went down with a chest injury, so it was just Aaron Jones, really. The special teams, the Packers special teams entered the postseason ranked dead last amongst every team in the league. And that reared its ugly head. That blocked field goal from 39 yards out by Jimmy Ward at the end of the half is what kept the 49ers. Essentially, that's what kept the 49ers in the game. I'm going to put it on that play right there. That kept the 49ers in the game. And because if the Packers go into the half and go into halftime with 10-0 lead, you know, more momentum, down two scores, you know, you come out with a little less to work with. That blocking that field goal was huge. And you can tell on the play, like, this is why the Packers special teams is ranked 32nd on the play. The guy on the outside, he opened up and let Jimmy Ward in, and it was a free run at the kicker. On the blocked punt, which was like, I forgot. Like, it was in the third quarter. I think the blocked punt was in the third quarter, like midway through the third quarter. Yeah, the blocked punt came like sometime in the third quarter, I think halfway through the third quarter or towards the end, made the score 10-10. Shout out to Hufanga for picking up that ball. And the score was 10-10. I was excited, but I was very calm because I know that Aaron Rodgers is on the other side, and our secondary, minus Ambry Thomas. I mean, our secondary is already suspect, but no Ambry Thomas. We were really lacking, and I was still worried about Aaron Rodgers pulling off, you know, his Aaron Rodgers type things. The defense showed up again for the Niners. They pressured Aaron Rodgers on 30%+ of his dropbacks. I think that was the most he's pressured this year. I think that was a Brady stat. My bad. It was Brady who was pressured by the Rams the most this year. The second most this year behind the Eagles, who pressured him the most last week. But I'll get to Brady and all that, blah, blah, blah. My bad. But Rodgers was pressured on 30%+ of his dropbacks. He was sacked 5 times, which was the only time this season a team has sacked him more than 3 times. And this is the third game in a row where the Niners have gotten 5 sacks. The 49ers hardly blitzed. They blitzed Aaron Rodgers like 5 times, which is like 14% of his dropbacks. They're only sending 4 guys. Like, y'all realize that? The Niners are only sending 4 guys, just like the Rams only like to send four guys. That's scary, dude. Like, that's scary. The Niners defense, along with the special teams, showed out. You know, I had to spark the blunt, the Green Bay pack. Just a disappointing end for the Packers, man. I actually picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl this year before the season started, and for them to go out in the divisional round. I am actually disappointed because of my prediction. I'm happy for my team, though. Don't get me wrong. Ecstatic for my team. Trust. I'm just disappointed, honestly. I thought they would have a much better season, the Packers. I thought they would finish the season stronger. With San Francisco's win and the Bengals' win earlier in that day, it marked the first time that both number one seeds lost in the divisional round in the same season since 2010. It's a big weekend, man. Special. And the Niners will go face the Rams in the NFC Championship game. And speaking of the Rams, I'm getting into Rams and Bucks right now. Okay, so this game was, wait, before I get into the Rams and Buccaneers, I have to go back and say this. The most concerning part about that Packers and Niners game for me is the fact that the Niners limped away with the victory. Trent Williams with the ankle injury, I believe. I forgot what injury George Kittle had. Even though it was minor, he came back and finished the game. I still, you know, I don't like the fact that he limped off the field for one or two of those plays. Deebo Samuel, same thing. He limped off the field too. Kyle Shanahan said he's going to practice this week, so it looks like he's going to be in line to play on Sunday. But all in all, that is a huge concern because Jimmy Garoppolo is already hurt. He's not throwing the ball properly. Nobody's talking about that. Like, everybody's talking about how bad Jimmy is, but nobody talks about how bad he throws the ball.
Okay, and then, so yeah, let me move on to Rams and Packers. I mean, Rams and Buccaneers. This was a great game. This Rams-Buccaneers game was great. Like, I from an entertainment perspective, and it's crazy because I said the Rams would thoroughly handle the Buccaneers, and they did that for the first half. I don't know what happened after that. I really don't. Stafford threw for 366 yards, two touchdowns without an interception. I give him that. And him and Cooper Kupp, that connection is definitely up there with Rodgers and Devontae, Russell and Lockett. That connection is up there. I'm sold. I mean, I've been sold because I had Cooper Kupp on my fantasy team, so I've been sold. But I don't think, like, that's one of those unguardable combinations. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't stop Kupp and Stafford. You can try. I've seen people double team him and stuff like that. And you can only hold him down for so long in a game. Like, you can't hold him down the whole game. Same thing with Devontae Adams. excuse me. This game, it's all about the Rams and how they almost collapsed. Because why is it that the Rams are doing this? Like, why do the Rams on offense or defense somehow find a way to fold? I don't understand. Like, I'm not a Rams fan, but I just don't get it. Like, against the Niners, you were up big. You were up like three score. It was 17-3 at half. And they came back and beat you guys 27-24. They scored, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, against the Buccaneers, you're up 27-3 at halftime. Only one other team has put Tom Brady at that deficit before. Like, and Tom Brady almost came back and won. They scored 24 unanswered points, the Buccaneers did, off two Cam Akers fumbles and a Cooper Kupp fumble, which I'm surprised. Like, Cooper Kupp, really? Cam Akers, okay, you fumble one time, but you fumble a second time? Jeez, I don't know how much they're going to rely on him going into the NFC Championship game. And if the Niners are looking at that game, they're looking at Cam Akers like, boy, you can't hold on to the ball. We're going to get after you. We're going to Sue punch that ball out. And when I get it, Namakin Sue is an insanely strong guy. He looks strong, but he got to take better care of that ball if they have any chance of winning. Fournette made his debut. He came back. I think Fournette was a big reason why the Buccaneers were even able to generate any kind of offense. You know, Mike Evans, you know, he's that guy on the outside. And I respect Gronk, but I don't think he's enough. I think they needed somebody else, and Fournette was that guy. Brady, 30 of 54, 329 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He was sacked three times, lost a fumble. Excuse me. This wasn't Tom Brady's best game in the first half, but that was like lack of weapons. You know, like I said, Tom Brady needs a perfect environment for him to succeed or for him to win. And I'm talking about win it all. You know, like last year, it was perfect. Everybody was healthy for the most part. That team, top to bottom, is probably the best team overall. Like, from the secondary to the line, I mean, to the linebackers, to the D-lines, offensive line, receivers, probably the most talented team in the league. So, for there to be no Antonio Brown, no Chris Godwin, no Tristan Wirfs, that's a big deal. That was a huge deal. The Rams pressured Brady the second most times this year behind the Eagles last week. With this game last week, and the uncharacteristic mistakes in the first half by the Buccaneers, they really didn't help. Like, the unsportsmanlike conduct called on Tom Brady and Ndamukong Suh really set the team back. And you know, it was just, you could tell, like, Brady was frustrated and like having his limited arsenal of receivers. I don't know. This is the reason why I said the Buccaneers would get handled by the Rams is because the Rams have a
full arsenal, relatively healthy, Odell, Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Cam Akers, blah, 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 compared to the Rams' arsenal, who they don't have. They don't have, like, their full complement of guys. I just didn't think Brady and the Bucks would be able to keep up. But the Rams were trying to give this game back. The Rams were trying to give this game away. They pitied the Buccaneers, so they were trying to give this game up. Cam Akers fumble right before the half. Another fumble. You know, Cooper Kupp, like, you know what I'm saying? And then Jalen Ramsey. Mike Evans torching you, dog. Mike Evans torched you yesterday. I mean, if it was... Wait. I apologize to Mike Evans for saying that you don't show up against some of the top corners sometimes. I apologize. I'll never speak ill of you again, bro. I'm forever faithful. Big Mike Evans fan. I apologize for doubting you. No, bro. You put Jalen Ramsey on his ass. Like, what? I don't want to... But you don't understand. I've been defending Mike Evans for so long. People talk about, oh, he's just big. No, bro, he was torching him. What? Did you see that go route? Oh my. Mike Evans had 8 catches for 119 yards in a tutty against Jalen Ramsey. Not against like John Johnson or William Jackson III. No, it was Jalen Ramsey. He was torching them. What? That's I don't know how long that play was, but that long touchdown strike to Mike Evans when he blew past Jalen Ramsey who didn't play the coverage right, bro. I mean, like that swag is enough. Like that momentum with that swag is enough to help get the Buccaneers back in the game. You know what I'm saying? And I can't put my finger on it. I can't really figure out what it is, but the Rams don't. It's like they that killer instinct they don't have. And if it wasn't for a blown coverage at the end of the game by Antoine Winfield Jr. or Bruce Arians said that there was a blitz called and everybody didn't get the message. So a couple of linebackers didn't blitz them. They probably would have got to Kupp. I mean, they probably would have got to Stafford sooner, but Kupp was in the slot on Antoine Winfield Jr., and he just blew by him down the seam for a 70-yard strike. Excuse me. And that set up the game-winning field goal for Matthew Stafford and them boys. And it was just mistakes by the Buccaneers all game long that cost them. And in the end, it was those mistakes that helped the Rams win. I don't think the Rams went out. I can't really sit here and say the Rams went out and won this game because the Buccaneers, they really hurt themselves from start to finish. And then they did everything they could to get themselves back into it. They forced 3 fumbles. And in the end, the defense just couldn't hold on. It's hard for me to say that the Rams won this game, man. I think the Buccaneers lost it. But in the end, the Rams win 30-27 on a Matt Gay kick in Tampa, who he really didn't kick well. He really doesn't kick well in Tampa, but he made the most of it this weekend. In fact, I think he had a missed field goal that helped Tampa get back into the game, and then he made the game winning field goal. But yeah, my concern for the Rams is how they seem to somehow collapse. I don't know what that is, offensively or defensively. They just get, I don't know if they get comfortable or if they feel like they got it, or maybe the NFL is quote-unquote rigged, and they know they're going to be in SoFi. I don't know. I don't know. Something wrong with them, man. And the last game I want to touch on is the Bills and Chiefs game. Listen, we all know how this ended. Gabriel Davis's playoff record, 4 touchdown receptions. He had 200 yards receiving. 201 yards receiving. There are a few things I'm going to touch on before I get to this grand point that I want to make. I know I said on my last episode that if the Bills came out here and kind of stunk it up, that I would be done with them. But it's not the Bills per se. It's just the defense. And really, it's those safeties. I want those 2 safeties for the defense, Poyer and Hyde. I want them to shut up. I don't want to hear nothing from them anymore. And I get it all season long without Tre'Davious White. Or for most of the season, you didn't have Tre'Davious White. You still had a number one defense, the number one defense by far in passing yards and third down percentage. But that just begs the question on, with 13 seconds left, how could you not stop the Chiefs from driving down the field and getting in field goal range? 13 seconds left on the clock. Like, that's what I want to know. Jordan Poirier, Micah Hyde, Tremaine Edmonds and those guys, Ed Oliver. I just want to know, bro. It blows my mind that with 13 seconds left on the clock, y'all could let them get within field goal range. And then at the end of the game, in overtime, like, what are you guys doing on Tyreek? Like, you, like, okay. And this is the point I was making in my last episode about the Niners and the Packers and how they differentiate. The Niners, you know, they got Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, you know, okay. Deebo, Kittle, those are the superstars, right? Elijah Mitchell, you could say, like, if this was Madden, you could say he's a star. He has star development, you know. And Ayuk, he has star development. I wouldn't say Juwan Jennings has star development, but he's shown out over the last few weeks. So you can, we've been saying his name. He's caught touchdowns in just about every game except that last one over the last few weeks. So, you know, I'm saying, like, I'm saying that the Niners have a variety of guys that they can, that they get the ball to, right? The Packers, Aaron Jones had 21 combined carries, was it? Or what was it, like 9 catches and 12 carries? So 21 combined touches. And I believe Davante Adams had 9 receptions of his own. Alan Lazard, 1 catch. Mercedes Lewis, 1 catch. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, they're, like, the difference between those offenses is that they only, that the Packers are only giving the ball to one or two guys, that they're only relying on one or two guys. That's what the Niners, they're relying on, even though Deebo is carrying a big workload, they're relying on multiple guys to get the job done at the skills positions. So my whole point about the Chiefs is, and coming into this game, I was saying, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are going to get the ball. Like, you know that the ball is going to be coming their way, right? Especially in that Pittsburgh game where they did most of the damage for the Chiefs for them to come back and win. What I don't get is, in the final couple minutes of the game, I get it. You played a long game. You are tired. But this, you have a chance to get to the Super Bowl after next week. Like, you get the chance to have another home playoff game, or you get the chance to go home and host the Bengals on your turf to get to the Super Bowl. You only got 13 seconds left, and you get there, and you don't do everything in your power to get bodies on Tyreek at the line, to get bodies and guys on Travis Kelce. You got Matt Milano in one-on-one coverage with Travis Kelce. Are you serious? And I sound like a Chiefs fan right now. I mean, I sound like a Bills fan right now. But, like, real talk. Like, Matt Milano, really? That's what you put on Travis Kelce at the end of the game in the red zone? Really? Like, it just blows my mind, man. It blows my mind. It really does. How this defense could give it up to the Chiefs. 36 points in regulation, 42 overall. Like, but y'all supposed to be number one. I don't want to hear nothing about that no more, man. Y'all hush hush. Y'all hush hush till next year. And the only reason why I got the Bills making it to the AFC title game next year is because of the core that they have now. And that they're all coming back. I think Levi Wallace is going to be a free agent, but they'll have Tre'Davious White, blah, blah, blah. It was just a huge disappointment. The Bills defense was a huge disappointment in that loss to the Chiefs. I don't have anything else to say, because I'll keep going and I'll rant and because I'm pissed. Like, that was disappointing. And I'll be honest, like, before that game, maybe I'm so emotional about it because I had faith in the Bills. And I wanted to see them overcome Mahomes. And I also didn't want to see Mahomes and Tyreek Hill in these playoffs, like, still. Like, I want them to get eliminated because I don't want to see them in the Super Bowl if the Niners make it. And that's how I felt before the game, because I don't want to have to deal with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. But now I want to see them. Now I want to see them. Because I don't think it's that I just don't if the game plan is to take these two guys out of the game, which I think, okay, it's not, I know it's almost impossible to take them out of the game, but it's just like, these two guys, make them give the ball to other people. Like, okay, like, let me go look at the stats. And Mahomes, by the way, he played excellent. Like, he was spectacular. I'll give him that. But Jerick McKinnon and Byron Pringle both had 5 catches apiece. I can live with that. Even if one of them had 54 and the other one had 29 and a touchdown, I can live with that. But if it's not Kelce Hill, his two main guys, his best guys, I mean, they're superstar X-Factors on Madden for a reason. Like, I just don't understand how you can't take, how you don't take those guys out of the game at the end of the game. I swear to God, if anybody else would have beat the Bills, I'd have been like, all right. If Mecole Hardman would have scored, I'd be like, damn, you know, it happens. Pringle, it happens. Mahomes did his thing. Even Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I would have lived with that. But for you guys to let the guys, Tyreek Hill, 11 catches, 150 yards, 1 touchdown. Travis Kelce, 8 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. These two dudes beat the Bills by themselves. These two dudes beat the number one defense in the league by far, by themselves. That was the disappointment for me. And now, the last point I want to make before I let you guys get out of here, before I get out of here. Also, I'll be previewing the NFC and AFC championship games later this week in another episode. Here are the numbers for Patrick Mahomes: 33 of 44, 378 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 7 rushes, 69 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Josh Allen's numbers: 27 for 37, 329 yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 11 rushing attempts for 68 yards. These numbers are identical, okay? All this Mahomes is better than Allen talk, I think, is just prisoner of the moment. Oh, it's because Mahomes won, because... And this is all respect to Stephon Diggs, who's probably a top 2 or 3 route runner in the league. Definitely a top 3 receiver, if not top 2. Like, Stephon Diggs has proven that he is that guy. And Gabriel Davis, who I think should be the number 3 option on the team behind Dawson Knox. And oh my goodness, Dawson Knox didn't even show up in this game. He got off against the Chiefs early this year for 117 yards. He only had like 9 yards in this game. I just want, the Chiefs defense, and I'm getting off a little side note, the Chiefs defense played your best players, the Bills. Let me go back to the stats real quick. The Chiefs defense held Stephon Diggs to 3 catches for 7 yards. Dawson Knox, 2 catches, 9 yards. The Chiefs defense played your two best guys way better than you played Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Way better than the Bills played the Chiefs guys. Bills should be ashamed of themselves. Bills should be ashamed of themselves. And that's just my personal opinion on it. But back to the point I was making about Mahomes and Allen and the talent that they have around them. See, and Allen has gotten better. Allen and Diggs make each other better. Just like how I think Hill and Mahomes make each other. Well, I take that back. I think Tyreek Hill makes Mahomes better. I don't think Mahomes makes Tyreek Hill better. I think Tyreek Hill is who he is. He's one of a kind and a unique specimen. Usually when we get speedsters like this in the league, they'd be like, oh, you know, he's the fastest in the league. John Ross, when he came out, Jakeem Grant, he got drafted with the Dolphins. Now he's on the Bears. He barely gets playing time. John Ross, I don't even know what he's doing on the Bengals now. I don't know if he's on the practice squad or what. But when they came into the league, they were the fastest guys in the league. These guys really don't pan out that well. These guys really don't last that long. But Tyreek Hill was built different. He's a little bigger and stronger and faster than those guys. And he doesn't take the take as many hits. I've noticed he doesn't take as many hits as a lot of other receivers, so he doesn't take as many punishment. I've seen him have a quad injury before, but you know, he doesn't really take the kind of punishment that other receivers take. And when you got a guy who can beat anybody with his speed, can get 1, 2, 3 steps on anybody, and all you got to do is get him the ball, like, how great do you have to be to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, the only reason why I can still call Mahomes an elite talent at quarterback, an elite quarterback, period, is because of the plays he's made, like, in and of himself. Whether it be him running the ball, throwing the ball with his left hand, making the throw to win the game. Like, Mahomes has done it. Mahomes can do it. Mahomes has proven he is that guy. I will give him that. But I don't want to hear Mahomes is just straight up better than Josh Allen when Josh Allen played just as good, if not better than Mahomes in that game. And you got Tyreek Hill on your team and he don't. And you got somebody like when you got somebody as fast as that who ran past 4, bro, on that touchdown, I think, what, to tie the game or to take the lead. I'm sorry, I can't remember. I'm so just juiced up about it. But Levi Wallace was trailing him. Tyreek Hill was running across the field. He's just running across the field. And he ran past 4 Bills on his way to the end zone. Make that make sense to me, you know, on the Bills side. You know, like, Tyreek is going to make sense. You're a fast guy. You're the fastest guy. And to me, it's just Mahomes doesn't have to do much. He can throw it to Hill on a drag, on a slam. He can take it to the house. So I'm not denying Mahomes' greatness. But if Josh Allen had Tyreek Hill for the entirety of his career, I mean, we could be having a different conversation about Josh Allen right now. Let's be real about it. If he had Travis Kelce for the entirety of his career as well, like, so far, we could be having a different conversation right now. You know what I'm saying? So I think Josh Allen is just as good, if not better, than Patrick Mahomes. That's my take on it, bro. Tyreek Hill is just a unique specimen, an unguardable specimen. You can't cover him one-on-one. But that's my take on it. That's my reaction from the weekend. That's what I got. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I got to get out of here. I got to get the rest of my day started. I'll catch you guys on the next episode. Peace.